Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. We're talking about stem cells, and there's a great deal of controversy about stem cells. On the one hand, as I said in part one, please refer back to it. There's tremendous promise, and this really may revolutionize medicine. It's called the whole science of this is called regenerative medicine, where in future we may be able to inject stem cells or ability build organs on scaffolding of inert material that the immune system won't reject, and that'll eliminate the need for organ transplantation from donors where we don't have enough organs. And also there's the problem of rejection. If you build organs made out of your own stem cells that your immune system recognizes as self, that would be pretty cool. So this is just it's literally exploding. But we have to recognize that the pace of research is slow, and also there need to be suitable precautions. So, you know, let's delve into this controversy a little bit. I have here a headline from the end of last month. So this is news that is just hitting the media. Stem cell treatments become more available and face more scrutiny. And in fact, this month, in light of the proliferation of stem cell clinics offering what some think are dubious claims, you know, and there's some people who may be ardent proponents of stem cell clinics listening to this podcast, you got to recognize that there's some people who are pushing the claims a little bit too far. Maybe not delivering the results. The article states that the FDA will hold a hearing this month to consider greater oversight as more clinics open in the U.S. So I think what we're going to see, is, some more stringent, controls applied to stem cell, trials in the United States, and maybe, even a crackdown on some clinics making, over the top claims. They say here, nearly 600 clinics in the U.S. are touting stem cell therapies to combat everything from aging to autism and Alzheimer's disease. While stem cell research is booming, mainstream scientists say it will be years before such therapies are proven safe and effective. You know, there you have it. That's the controversy in a nutshell. Some say the clinics are peddling 21st century snake oil, and they want the FDA to crack down. Clinic operatives say they don't need FDA approval because they're practicing medicine, not creating new drugs. I mean, how can you call a person's own stem cell a drug? Is it really subject to FDA approval? Well, the FDA recently ruled on poop transfers, so-called fecal transfer, for treatment of chronic gastrointestinal problems. Ruling that those applications they do constitute a new drug application and are subject to the same kind of stringent controls as if you came up with a new medicine. So that's the essence of the controversy. What they're saying here is that, and this is a doctor who's actually a proponent of regenerative medicine, Dr. Anthony Atala, director of the Wake Forest Institute for Regenerative Medicine. They have 450 researchers working to create new tissues from stem cells. He says, quote, "We need to make sure that these technologies are reliable and reproducible time and time again before you put them into patients." And in this article here, they cite the case of a very interesting retinal surgeon. He's an ophthalmologist who I came to know through a patient of mine who had a very unfortunate damage to his eye during a hospitalization for a very severe infection. Apparently, some infection had traveled throughout his body. He was very sick, near death, a young man. He recovered, but he had some eye damage due to that, which he was obviously very, very despondent about, and sought to get recovery of his vision deficit. So one of the things I did is I sent him for hyperbaric oxygen treatment, which seemed to be somewhat helpful at restoring vision. His doctors were really amazed at the degree to which his vision recovered, because initially they said he had virtually no prognosis for vision in one eye, that he would be virtually blind. And he recovered much of his vision. But he also, to hedge his bets, and he didn't realize that there was no promise, but he did visit Jeffrey Weiss, a retinal surgeon in Margate, Florida, who's profiled here in the Wall Street Journal, who has treated about 570 patients with retinal and optic nerve diseases. He's literally trying to, you know, you could, the ultimate goal is to reverse blindness, but many of these patients have severe vision deficits. And he takes stem cells from the patient's bone marrow, and he says that about 60% have had meaningful improvement. It's expensive. Patients pay around $20,000 to receive the injections. And they report anecdotally in this Wall Street Journal article, after 3 months in one patient, the vision in his right eye went from roughly 20 to 1,000, which is really abysmal, to 2,400. And then after 6 months, it was 2,300. You know, there are practitioners who are, they're pushing the envelope a little bit in terms of regulation, doing bold and innovative things. This, of course, is a guy who's a skilled eye surgeon. He's not just injecting this stuff into people's veins. It's got to be, you know, it's got to be put in the eye, literally. They say here that many clinics use so-called adult mesenchymal stem cells derived from fat. It's like a little liposuction procedure where doctors withdraw a syringe full of fat from the patient's abdomen under local anesthesia. It's a little pinch, and then they separate the stem cells and they inject them back into the patient. And that's what's come under fire. You know, now they have even patient advocacy groups. So at the FDA hearing, which is going to call for stronger oversight, they had a representative from a patient group called Patients for Stem Cells. They want to appeal for faster approval process for stem cell therapies. And they say that, you know, all this bureaucracy is getting in the way of patients getting better. I'm quoting here, patients will never get these treatments if they have to go the traditional double-blind placebo-controlled trial route. That takes 10 years and $1 billion. There's got to be a middle ground where you don't shut off treatment, you just keep track of it. So they want a patient registry, which I think is a good idea, because at least it'll be fully disclosed whether these treatments are efficacious or not, and people can study that and write papers to, you know, basically say whether they make sense and whether we should be pursuing this approach at the present time or waiting advances in technology that will make stem cell therapies more uniformly effective and safe. So what are some other instances of stem cells working? And here's an interesting one. A recent study that stem cells derive from abdominal fat, which is this, you know, mesenchymal stem cells, no big deal, easy to obtain, when applied even without extensive preparation or shaping, directly injected into the anal fistulas. And a fistula is a terrible condition where there's a communication between the intestine and, say, the bladder, or, you know, just it's like a tunnel that occurs in the tissue. And it's first when a fistula occurs in the intestinal tract, it's very hard to heal because it's constantly being exposed to bacteria from the fecal stream. And these fistulas are very hard to heal. I mean, you can't sew them up, you can't close them, because they're very prone to infection. And they keep opening up and opening up and opening up. So they thought, well, maybe let's shoot some stem cells in there. Maybe they'll affect some repair. There was some effect. In patients with Crohn's disease, the rate of healing was up from just 34% in a placebo to 50%. That's enough of a treatment effect to suggest that there's going to be something going on there. In a mouse study, they found that stem cells could help reverse the damage of strokes. But keep in mind, these stem cells were not just sucked out from fat or pulled out from the bone marrow. These were neurally derived stem cells. In other words, they're derived from spinal cords, presumably of, cadaver animals. And they were prepared with a unique protein that potentiated their differentiation into functioning neurons. So they did a very special tweak of cells that already were primed to turn into brain cells or neurons, and they actually helped to at least partially reverse the damage of strokes. This is a mouse study, and is you can be sure that this study is very far away from human implementation, although it suggests that in coming years and decades that they'll hone this into something that's workable. Another very interesting angle on stem cells, specially prepared stem cells have shown promise in repairing damaged hearts, again, in rodents, in an experimental model. So the idea here is that you can repair, say you have a heart attack, and as often happens, heart muscle dies, and then the heart pumps less efficiently. So you want to regenerate that damaged heart. Can you shoot some stem cells in the heart and make new myocytes or muscles, heart muscle cells grow, cardiomyocytes? Well, apparently that they're working on that. But researchers state that, quote, many questions remain to be answered before clinical applications in humans can be made. But again, that's another very important angle. So what about stem cells for, say, knee problems or joint problems? This is actually one of the most common questions that I get when patients email me questions or when patients call my radio program I'm thinking of getting stem cell injections. Maybe these people have tried, arthroscopic surgery. Maybe they've tried already hyaluronic acid injections, and they're confronted with the alternative of either walking around painfully and having restricted activities and learning to live with it, or undergoing a total knee replacement. Or maybe they were talking about another joint. We're talking about a hip, or we're talking about a shoulder, or even, in some cases, low back pain. So what's the state of the art with that? Well, they did a recent review that's a pretty unbiased review of this in something called the WJSC, which is the World Journal of Stem Cells. So that is an organization that's certainly a proponent of stem cell therapy, but it's a medical journal, so they're going to be scientifically rigorous. One of the things that you have to keep in mind whenever you study procedures for pain, and particularly looking at knees, is that there's an enormous placebo effect. And so the fact that you get a response from a treatment does not necessarily mean that the treatment is doing much more than offering a very sophisticated placebo. And an illustration of that is that a lot of people claim that they get relief from arthroscopic surgery. You know, they have a bum knee, they get it, quote, cleaned out. And lately, they have done studies looking at the effectiveness of arthroscopic surgery. That's like, the little keyhole surgery where they go in with a little scope. It's not an open knee procedure. And they just kind of, clean out the damaged tissue and send you along on your merry way, usually through rehab, to hopefully some degree of amelioration of your pain. And these procedures do work, just not uniformly. Some people get no relief. Some people get spectacular relief. Some people get moderate relief that lasts for a while. But when they've done studies, they found that if you just do like a little sham incision, you know, use a scalpel to cut a little hole there, put a bit, you know, big bandage over it, and then send a person along to rehab. That's the placebo, because you got to have something happen when you're doing a placebo trial. So one gets the actual surgery, one just gets this little incision and a Band-Aid. But both groups get rehab because that's what has to happen after surgery. What they find is that there is almost imperceptible difference between the groups that got the actual surgery and the ones that got the so-called sham or placebo surgery. So they just noticed that the same thing has happened in treatment for torn meniscus. I mean, you figure you got a torn meniscus, you're going to, you know, fix that. And that has led to calls for us to limit the literally hundreds of thousands, perhaps, you know, even into the millions of surgeries that we do on bad knees that, you know, were pioneered on, you know, guys like Joe Namath, you know, that were really originally designed to extend the career of athletes. Now, you know, grandma and grandpa, you know, Uncle Ted, who wants to keep, you know, playing doubles tennis, he's getting his knee cleaned out. And, you know, results of the study are not indicating that when we shine the light of scientific investigation on these procedures, that they really make a difference. Okay, so with stem cells, it's very hard to study. So they say here in this nice review article that the aim in using stem cells for the knee joint is to put multipotent adult stem cells into the knee, because they're readily available in several tissues, and they can easily be harvested and then, you know, put directly into the knee. And they say here that it's really hard to evaluate the efficacy of all the stem cell procedures that are going on, because some are being done under very strict research protocols where we know exactly how the cells are harvested, how they're prepared, how they're injected, what criteria they use for patient selection. And so that's really where you can do the best research. But there's so much going on out there in terms of variable techniques, and sometimes results are not really well reported. You know, the patient is sent on their way and, you know, they're not recording what's happening. There's no registry of outcomes. That this is, it's really unclear, whether these procedures are, in aggregate of benefit to patients. Anecdotally, some patients will say, I swear by my stem cells. They really helped me. Is this a temporary relief? Is this placebo effect? Or is this really a legitimate regeneration of cartilage? They also state that there's some limitations to this. The procedures are not 100% effective. There is some question as to how best to prepare the cells. Maybe there's certain growth factors to introduce, that will accentuate the, development of these cells into, reparative, agents. And there's even some talk about using some kind of neutral material to build scaffolding that will help to, you know, when you're bone on bone, I mean, what are you building on? You know, the stem cells have no place to lodge so that they can, plump up the cartilage because there's very little residual cartilage. Maybe there's some technique in the future that they'll develop where they'll have some neutral scaffolding that they can insert, and then they can inject some stem cells that will grow around that, and it will resemble our original equipment, the original cartilage that separates the upper leg bone from the lower leg bones. That, you know, again, is a future perspective. They also say that you got to select candidates appropriately because the stem cells don't work if you're obese because of the, just the physical pressure on the knee and also because obesity is pro-inflammatory. They even suggest in this article, interestingly, that we might be looking at natural adjuncts to treatment of knee problems, things like curcumin and glucosamine, chondroitin, those kinds of certain supplements that may help to alleviate knee pain, natural or alternative methods. And basically what they conclude, the other issue, of course, is cost, is that the procedures cost upwards of $4,000. They're not covered by insurance currently because they're considered speculative and elective, and you can't get, Medicare is strapped enough. Insurance companies are reluctant enough to pay out, especially for procedures where they can claim like, okay, this is experimental. It's discretionary. It's on you to pay for these procedures. We're not going to pay for the bulk of these procedures because it's not really validated yet. So they say, an interesting trend is the increased research interest in scaffold-assisted or scaffoldless grafts as a method to restore the structural and biomechanical characteristics of the knee. Because you can't, cells just alone, will they know where to go? And, you might just get a bunch of, spongy cells hanging out there. You need a structure. You actually need a structure of the previous cartilage to take its place within the knee to provide cushioning. So they, as the very bottom line is that, MSC grafts may even prove to be a viable alternative to total knee replacement in the near future. However, we still have to wait for a 100% effective and also low-cost clinical procedure to be developed. That's their story, and they're sticking to it. Ultimately, I think their conclusion is that this is a very promising area, but we're going to have to work out the details in the future, and we need a lot more clinical trials to validate it. The bottom line is there's a lot of controversy about stem cells. Regenerative medicine is very promising. I think you're going to see some pushback against some of these clinics that offer the sun, moon, and the sky in terms of outcomes where the research is weak and where the procedures are being done outside strict protocols that are usually conducted at university medical centers or medical schools. And so the public's access to some of these procedures, I really think it's that the window is closing on some of the clinics out there that are making aggressive claims. And they're going to come under FDA regulation. They may come under regulation of state medical boards, which may be coordinating an effort to shut them down or at least to limit their claims and the procedures that they offer. But at the same time, patients are clamoring for this. So there may be some patient advocacy where patients say, no, don't, preclude our avenues of hope. We want to keep the door open, to the possibility that ourselves or our loved ones can get better with these treatments. And finally, as to safety, I just don't think some of these procedures are ready for prime time. And I don't advocate them to my patients. And my suggestion is to patients who want to try stem cells, keep your powder dry until techniques are perfected. No question they will be. Keep your eye on developments in this field. And I'll continue to be try to be an unbiased reporter vetting this information for you so that you can make a wise consumer choice as to, whether you want to put your personal safety on the line and your dollars on the line for what is, at best, a speculative benefit. Thanks very much for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.